What's up, everyone? Welcome back. We are about 1 week post-draft for the NFL. I didn't come right out like everybody and try to, jump on, quick hits and overreactions to the draft class for the 49ers. And, I'd like to, like a fine wine, let it simmer a little bit, right? Give it some room to breathe, kind of evaluate it. I know a lot of people talk about kind of the undrafted guys that they signed. To be honest, they signed a few guys that are interesting, but overall, those guys are long shots to make the roster, and this team especially is a very mature roster, right? Like, they had a lot of guys that were already in place. They were right up against the 90-man, I believe, so they actually had to cut a few guys in order to sign some of these dudes. So I wanted to give it a little bit of time in case something, interesting happened. Obviously, there's some pretty hefty NFL storyline. So with Rodgers and some of those other guys, but I wanted, like I said, give it a week since the draft and really dive into, some of the picks and just kind of thinking about it a little bit over the last week, reading a lot, hearing a lot, and what I think it really means. So I think the first takeaway is, again, this team really feels like they're in a good position, right? Like, keeping Jimmy Garoppolo, which is what it seems like is going to happen, which I mentioned in some of the other pods, if they do indeed do it, it enables them to kind of have some breathing room. But at the same time, they were able to, in free agency leading up to the draft, solve a lot of their needs through free agency and bring guys back. So they didn't have a whole lot of needs per se. I mean, we knew that they needed some secondary help, which they got. They needed some offensive line help, which they got. So I think they took a little bit of a, draft now and get some guys that are going to contribute right away, but also did a really good job of what good teams do, is drafting guys that are going to help next year and for the next 3 to 5 years, hopefully beyond. But let's get into it and kind of just go through what I take away, the main takeaways, right? So biggest takeaways that I hear or I saw here is Kyle's kind of getting back to his roots, right? This team, everyone thinks Kyle Shanahan, offense, innovative mind, wants to score points and all these things. And that's amazing, right? Like, that, there's no doubt about it. But at the same time, like, Kyle is a run first physical guy, that Bill Walsh thing, and he does that by hitting people in the mouth, running the football, being physical, which opens up the rest of his, stuff. It opens up the passing game. It opens up the downfield game, play action, all those things. So that's what I took away with it. Starting out, obviously, Trey Lance, this has been beaten to death. It will be for the foreseeable future, obviously. But my biggest takeaway from it is they took the guy, in their opinion, that had the highest upside. That is also a fit for what Kyle wants to do, which is a guy who can play under center, extremely smart, and pick up his system specifically, but also has the freakish tools in, size, speed, weight, arm strength, all this stuff that he can mold to his offense. Are we going to see Trey Lance this year? I don't know. A lot of people speculate, like, you're going to see some packages, you're going to see some red zone stuff, mixing them in. It's all going to really depend on Jimmy Garoppolo. Let's just be honest here. If Garoppolo comes out firing and, this team's 4-1, let's say, like, we're probably not going to see Trey Lance. Maybe we'll see some packages or whatnot, but they did not draft him thinking that they have to have him win a Super Bowl this year, right? That's Garoppolo's job. It's his turn. All these things, if he's delivering, like, they're not going to need him. Garoppolo gets hurt. Garoppolo's not playing up to par, and Trey is showing he's ready. Like, watch out. But I don't think that's the intention of these guys, right? They took him for a reason, and that's hopefully to be the quarterback for the next 10 years. He's obviously got a long ways to go to prove that he's anything close to Pat Mahomes, but that's the mindset, right? Like, they did not have a need for a quarterback when Alex was there. They made the playoffs. They won a playoff game. And everything worked out great. So I think that's the model that they would love to have if everything, turns out the way that they drew it up. Pick two. This one, to me, kind of jumped off. I thought there were a lot of really good guards and tackles in this draft in kind of rounds 2 through 4. Aaron Banks was a little bit surprising to me. He's not an athletic guy when you think of, like, the zone running game and guys that can pull and get up to the second level and, what Kyle traditionally does in the running game. But I think what his strengths are, everything I've read, one, he's gigantic, right? He is a huge dude. I think he's 6'5", 330. He is going to move people off the ball. And if you know, the play action and the running game and everything else, like, that's what Kyle wants to do. He wants to knock dudes off the ball and control that line of scrimmage. And I think Banks fits that perfectly, especially also if he's someone who can hold point of attack on pass rush. You play in a division with Aaron Donald, with, you know, J.J. Watt now. Like, you're going to have some dudes that he's going to have to be able to control in order to actually give some help to Mike McGlinchey, which we also talked about, who is not as sturdy in the passing game. So if Banks can be that guy next to McGlinchey on the right side, like, this is a huge, huge upgrade, a massive pick, super important. He's going to start day one. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't. But this was the pick that I started to think like, huh, that's interesting. And then the follow-up pick, which is what they was really interesting, they traded up to get Trey Sermon, pick 88. Trey Sermon, in all regards, is a he's a thunderback, right? Like, he is not going to be out there trying to break, you know, 80-yard runs, 70-yard runs. He is not Raheem Mostert, and that's totally fine. They need a guy like this who is going to put his shoulder down and get 5-6 yards. You know, he can definitely, you know, he's super athletic. If you saw the Clemson game and some of these others, I think it was Northwestern he torched. He's got that ability, but his game, think LeGarrette Blount type running game, right? He is going to get you 4 or 5 yards. He will break it, but if he can lower his shoulder and absolutely run someone over for a first down, like that's his game, right? So when I saw the Banks pick, the Sermon pick, and then followed up with Jalen Moore, another big dude who's a little bit more athletic, but he is a huge person, that just told me that Kyle Shanahan wants to get back to being physical, pushing people around, punching people in the mouth, and then with whoever's at quarterback, whether it be Lance, Garoppolo, you've got the skill guys that are obviously crazy athletic. They want to get back to running the football. Like, that is the game, play action, Ayuk and Debo, obviously Kittle as well, but I just try to think of, you know, a Aaron Banks, Mike McGlinchey, George Kittle right side of the offensive line. Like, holy crap. Like, they are going to pound teams into submission in the running game this year. And that's going to make things easier for Garoppolo and Trey Lance if he has to play. So I really like what they did. It's just kind of funny, like, taking away from it. Like, the NFL seems like it's moving more towards the spread. You know, you got Arizona and Cliff Kingsbury. Like, I don't even know how many receivers Cliff realizes you can play on at one time, but they have like a 6 or 7 depth chart of guys that are like really good receivers, which is awesome. But the Niners are saying, that's great. Like, we're going to control the trenches. We're going to win the trenches every week, and we're probably going to win the football game doing that. So I love what they did, getting bigger, more physical, stronger with these three picks, especially. I thought that was massive. Then you have in here, I don't know why it's not showing up in here, but they also took Ambry Thomas, the corner from Michigan. Thomas, you know, he's a guy that has like kind of an interesting background, really good, productive player. He had some kind of illness 2 years ago, which obviously led to him opting out and not playing this past year with COVID and everything else. He's going to be a really good player, and I think he's going to be counted on fairly early. If you look at the depth chart for the Niners, you know, yeah, you got Jason Verrett. You've got Emmanuel Mosley. Obviously, K'Wan Williams coming back is going to be huge for the nickel. But beyond that, like, there's not a lot of guys like that are proven ready to step up and take that. We'll see what happens with Sherman and some of these other, you know, free agents possibly. But Ambry Thomas is going to have a shot to contribute, like, quite a bit, I think, early. And from everything I've seen as far as highlights, he's a physical guy. He's going to fit this defense really well. And then you go, you got, man, I'm going to mess this name up, Damondore Lenoir from Oregon. This kid was rated the number one athlete coming out of high school. They didn't really quite know where he was going to play. They said, you know, everything I've read on this kid, obviously a supreme athlete, but he's not the most physical guy, but it's not from lack of effort. You know, he's an athlete first, but I think he is a guy who is willing to go toe-to-toe and mix it up and be physical. He's going to be a huge special team guy this year. And hope, you know, if he can come in and impress, like, he may have a shot to get some run as well. So I like that pick as well. Another name that I'm definitely going to mispronounce, Talanoa Hufanga. This dude was really electric at USC. I love this kid watching him play. He's going to be a dynamite special team player for the Niners this year. Watch out in camp too. Like, this guy brings an energy and a playing style to the field that is not a lot of guys can like replicate. So we'll see what happens. Again, the Niners have a pretty mature depth chart, but behind those starters, it will be interesting to see how things shake out. And the one thing we've seen, especially at the safety position with Jimmy Ward, Jukowski-Tart, and some of these other guys, is like they haven't been able to stay healthy. So like this is another kid, if he can come in and pick up the defense and you know, get it going, contribute on special teams, like he may have a shot to play as well. So that, you know, the Niners have been kind of lucky in the fifth round with guys like Kittle that they've drafted. So who knows, if one of these guys can step up and play, like that's a home run right there from that pick. And then the last guy that I think I wanted to touch on, which I thought was a really, really cool pick, Eli Mitchell. Look, a sixth-round pick on a team that in the roster that's already like pretty well established in a deep running back room. I don't know, like he's definitely going to be someone who's they're probably targeting to keep on the practice squad. But this dude has like electric speed and breakaway ability. If you watch his highlights at Louisiana Lafayette, I mean, this kid was pretty special. He's got, you know, elite speed. Who knows, man? Like, I don't know if they're going to potentially be able to work this kid in the slot. I don't know what his receiving ability is going to be. Kick returner, punt returner, potentially. We'll see what happens. I think depending on how the receiver room shakes out, like if Richie James is starting at receiver or that third like slot guy, I don't know if you necessarily want him returning kicks and punts every time. So maybe there's a spot for this kid to step up. But I love taking kind of a swing on like a home run hitting, you know, running back type. I thought it was also interesting going back to what did we talk about like at the beginning, you know, setting up next year and setting up the year after, right? Like you guys like Raheem Mostert is probably not going to be with this team in 2022, like cap situation. He's getting up there in age, like all these things. They're in a position now with and it's set. Barring any injuries, like you can prepare for this year and try to win a championship, but also set up next year. If Raheem Mostert walks, like this is a kid that you could potentially step right into that role next year and be your home run hitting back, you know, to pair with Trey Sermon. So I just really like what they did kind of across the board. Again, don't know why Ambry Thomas isn't on this list. My bad. But I think overall this draft class was awesome. They did what they needed to do. There were some guys that obviously, like me and other talking heads, were like, oh man, I can't believe that guy's still on the board. But they obviously, you know, do a million hours more scouting than me or any other fan head. So, you know, I think they filled a lot of holes. They got some guys that have some really unique abilities to contribute right away. They got some good guys on special teams, and they got some guys for the future that I think are going to be pretty special in Niners uniforms. So I love what they did. You know, like I said, I didn't want to put something out along with the other, you know, 10,000 people a couple days after the draft and, you know, hot take city. I wanted to let it sit for a week or so, talk about it. I think really the next thing we have to watch out, you know, for is some free agents that are still lingering. We'll see who the Niners, you know, if they decide to bring anybody in. I would still like to see them go get a veteran slot receiver. That to me is the number one position that I think they could still fill. And then I know they drafted two guys, but potentially another corner. So let's see what they do in the next couple of weeks. I think the next big milestone is you've got rookie mini camp coming up in about a month and a half. So yeah, things will be, this is kind of that dead period, which in the NFL is weird. Doesn't seem like there's ever a dead period, but should be interesting to see. You know, everybody take a deep breath, because when July hits and some of these mini camps and rookie things start, it's going to be full bores and I'll be back, you know, kind of full throttle. So hit me up on Twitter. I'm at VinnyLevine29. And if you guys have any comments or anything like that, definitely drop them in and give me some feedback. So talk to you later. Peace.